Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach again to everybody. I pray you're having a blessed feast as we are. The Bible talks about giving meat in due season, so I'm giving a message today that's called the gift of forgiveness, because Pesach is all about forgiveness and grace, and we don't deserve it, but Yahweh still gives it to us. In 2016, during the last presidential election in Babylon, I saw an interview with then-candidate Donald Trump, who became president. And the commentator, I'm not sure why he asked him this question, but he asked him if he ever asked Elohim for forgiveness. And he said no, he didn't need forgiveness from Elohim, and that only weak people ask for forgiveness. And I want to show you today what a gift forgiveness is. You know, forgiveness to us that Yahweh gives when we don't deserve it, and also the forgiveness that we give to others that also don't deserve it, because nobody deserves forgiveness, but it is a gift from Yahweh, and what the blessing is that He opens up our mind to understand this. So let's start in Matthew 18, and let's see this. Because it's amazing to me as I go through... like I said, I counsel with thousands of people a year. I travel all over the earth to all the congregations. And it amazes me at times when I see brethren that refuse to forgive people, you know, and they hold bitterness in their heart. So Peter comes near to him and he says, "My master, how many times should I forgive my brother?" In the Greek, this is mistranslated. I like it better in the Aramaic, as we'll see here. "Should I forgive him up to seven times?" Why? Seven is the number of completion, right? So we know that. So should it be up to seven times? And look what Yeshua says to him. "I do not say to you until seven times, but rather until 70 times 77, right? Three sevens, which is the unity of Yahweh. 70 times 77, meaningly, you know, he's not literally telling us to multiply 77 times 70 and that's the amount. He's saying it's without number, because it's the same with Yahweh. Every day of our life, we say the Master's Prayer and we ask for forgiveness every day of our life. And there's probably something almost every day of our life that we need forgiveness for. So, and then he gives a parable, right? Excuse me. "Because of this, the kingdom of heaven has been compared to a man, a king, who desired to take account with his slaves. And he, having begun to reckon, one debtor of 10,000 talents was brought near to him. But he, not having any to repay, his master commanded him to be sold, also his wife and children, and all things as much as he had, even to pay it back. Then, having fallen down, the slave bowed the knee to him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will repay all to you.' And being filled with pity, the master of that slave released him and forgave him the loan," right? He showed him grace. He didn't deserve it. He owed the money. But because he showed him pity, he forgave him. "But having gone out, that slave found one of his fellow slaves who owed 100 denarii. And seizing him, he choked him, saying, 'Pay me whatever you owe me.'" Can you imagine? So it's like him owing $1 million and he's forgiven. And the other guy owing like $100. And he's choking him and saying, "Give him the money." "Then having fallen down at his feet, his fellow slave begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay all to you.' But he would not. But having gone away, he threw him into prison until he should pay back the amount owed. But his fellow slaves, seeing the things happening, they were greatly grieved. And having come, they reported to their master all things happening. Then having called him near, his master said to him, 'Wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt since you begged me. Ought you not to have mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy?' And being angry, his master delivered him up to the tormentors until he paid back all debt to him." And now here's the important verse. "So also my heavenly Father will do to you, unless each of you from your hearts forgives his brother their offenses." So it's not a matter of just saying it, right? There's people that will say, "Yeah, okay, I'm sorry," or "Yeah, I forgive you." It's a matter, like he says, unless you forgive from your heart, you're not forgiven. And the only thing I could think of is people that hold bitterness is they don't ask for forgiveness. Just like President Trump, right? Weak people ask for forgiveness. So that's the only thing I'm thinking, because, I mean, people are hypocrites. But who could be a hypocrite enough that they're holding grudges and not forgiving somebody else, and they're praying every night, yes, Father, forgive me my sins with an open heart. It's impossible. It's impossible. So the only thing that must be happening is people that are holding grudges against other people must not be asking for forgiveness because they don't see it. And that's the Laodicean spirit, right? The Laodicean is rich and increased with goods in need of nothing. He doesn't need anything, right? He doesn't need forgiveness. What did I do? And face it, when you have the unforgiving heart leads to root of bitterness, as we're going to see here. The root of bitterness leads to self-righteousness. And self-righteousness leads to the point where you don't need to repent because there's nothing you did. I can see what he did and he did and he did and he did, but not me. There's nothing I did wrong. If we go to Matthew 6, and we see this here now, verse 12. Matthew 6 and verse 12. And forgive us our offenses as we also forgive those who have offended us. So this is the Master's Prayer. When they asked him to pray, it's not a repetitious prayer we pray, but he gave an outline. How we glorify Yahweh's name, right? We pray for the things of the kingdom. We pray for our daily needs. And then we say, forgive us our offenses as we've forgiven those who have offended us. And it's something we should be praying every single day. I know I pray it every day before I go to bed because I don't know what I've offended. And I might die in my sleep and I don't want those sins against me. So I pray it every single day. And then verse 14, for if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you will not forgive men their transgressions, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. So it's not coded. It's not hidden in another language. It's so simple. Either you forgive other people for offending you, or you're not forgiven. There's no other way to take this. And yet I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in my 36 years, my walk with Yahweh. I've seen it over and over and over again where people will hold grudges. I've said this many times in sermons. I'll say it again now. You know, I've talked to somebody I'll just meet. You know, maybe they're from Church of God that I came from. And they'll be telling about a minister and telling about the situation, telling about they've been wrong. And the way they tell the story, you would think this just happened a week ago. Because there's, and I'd say, well, when did that happen? Last week? 32 years ago or 22 years ago. And it's like, wow, how could somebody still hold that grudges? And you want to know what? This is what we're going to see. This is the whole reason why we have to forgive. Because if we don't forgive, that's what happens. That root of unforgiveness turns into a root of bitterness, which turns into a root of self-righteousness. And then that root becomes so hard and so big, it will destroy your life. So now, the next question that comes up is, why would you forgive a person who doesn't ask for forgiveness? So we could see, right? It's pretty simple that if somebody does something wrong and they come up and they apologize, no matter what they did, we need to forgive them, right? Because it's the same with us with Yahweh. We sin and we need. But what if the person's not asking for forgiveness or they're not repenting? Should we still forgive them? And the answer is absolutely. And that's the gift of forgiveness, because the gift of forgiveness is not just to the person you're forgiving. It's to you. It's to you to cleanse your heart. So Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. It is such a gift of Yahweh in so many different ways. Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, put away from you lying and speak the truth each with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And that's another thing. Solve things while it's still the same day. Don't let it go from day to day to day, because then little problems become big problems. And do not give the devil a chance. The one stealing, let him steal no more, but rather let him labor, working what is good with the hands, that he may have something to give to the one who has need, right? So it's not just about, as believers, it's not just about, okay, I used to steal, I'm not going to steal no more. No, we have to be proactive. I'm not only not going to steal, I'm going to give. So it's the opposite. We want to be proactive, right? Let not any evil word go out from your mouth, but words that are good and useful for edification, that it may impart a blessing to those who hear. So before, the person was a gossiper, you know, only had bad things to say about people. So it's not just, nope, I'll keep my mouth shut. No, it's now blessings going to come out. I'm not just not going to say bad things. I'm going to say good things. I'm going to compliment. I'm going to give a blessing to those who hear them. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of Elohim, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. This is what happens, that when you get baptized, if you don't repent of your sins and you continue to do these things in your life and you're not changing, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're quenching it to the point where it's either completely gone or it's so muddled that it's not working anymore in your life. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and turmoil and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice, right? Let all bitterness, and this is what will happen. If you don't give that gift of forgiveness to somebody else, whether they repented, whether they asked for it or not, you will get bitter. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again, and it's a surism. Don't think that you're going to not forgive somebody and then not get bitter of what they did for you. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Elohim has forgiven us through Messiah. So again, if we're honest with ourselves, and this is where the humility comes in, if we're honest with ourselves, none of us deserve forgiveness from Yahweh. Yahweh is perfect. He did nothing wrong. We did crimes punishable by the lake of fire, punishable by death. And we need to go to Him every single day and ask Him for forgiveness of our sins. And like the parable we just read, how on earth can we do that when we're holding grudges against other people and not forgiving them? So, if we don't forgive from our heart, like I said, it's not just saying the words. I've heard people say the words before, and then a minute later when the other person leaves the room, they're telling me why they're not forgiving that person or why that person was wrong. And that's not forgiveness from the heart. And like I say, you can kid yourself, you know, you could kid me, but you can't kid Yahweh. So unless you forgive from the heart, then you will harbor impure thoughts and bear a root of bitterness and be lacking in grace. Because there's no way Yahweh's grace can be in your life if you have a root of bitterness toward other people. And like I said, we forgive for ourselves as well as for the other person. Because there's freedom there. When you forgive the other person, there's a freedom. It's off your heart. It's off your soul. There's a freedom that goes out that you don't have to think about it. You know. And I know, especially in ministry, over the last 25 years, there have been so many people that have come and gone. People that have lied. People that have done evil things. And it's funny, sometimes it'll be years and years and years later, and somebody will bring up somebody maybe that did something evil. And who? I actually forgot the person. I even forgot who they were because I don't want to be there thinking about somebody that hurt me or somebody that did something against the ministry or somebody that said something bad against me that wasn't true, because it's not going to do me any good. The Bible says, you know, the Apostle Paul said, this I do, leaving those things behind. You're always looking ahead toward the kingdom. And again, you know, as a man thinks, so he is. And your mind is either going to be filled with love and grace and the kingdom of Yahweh, or it's going to be filled with bitterness and resentment and hate toward somebody else. So forgiveness, it really purifies the heart. So it's as much for you as for the other person. It's as much for you as the other person. And that's why the Laodicean can't see it, though. And that's the saddest part of the Laodicean. They simply can't see the need for forgiveness in their own life. And if you don't forgive someone from the heart, you're not going to be forgiven. Hebrews 12, and this is, it's a scary scripture here in Hebrews 12, because what happens from that point? It doesn't just end there. Hebrews 12 and verse 14 says, eagerly pursue peace and holiness with all, without which no one will see Yahweh, right? And this is why I say we need to be sanctified. Holiness is an English word. The word is kodesh. It's set apart. We need to be set apart toward Yahweh and the things of Yahweh. So we have to pursue peace and kadasha, holiness, with all, without which no one will see Yahweh. Watching diligently that not any lack from the grace of Yahweh, that no root of bitterness growing up may crowd in on you, and through this many are defiled. So that's the thing, right? Think of it as your body being a vase, right? And that vase is filled with love, it's filled with patience, it's filled with hope, it's filled with kindness and goodness and all these fruits of the Spirit, right? And now when this root of bitterness grows in, this root of bitterness actually grows up and it quenches all of those fruits of the Spirit. It kills them. And now your vase is filled with one big rotten root of bitterness that gets nowhere, right? So like it says, watching diligently, not any lack, because then you lack from the grace. Then Yahweh's grace isn't in your life, that no root of bitterness growing up may crowd in on you. And through this, many are defiled. And it's really your choice. And that's the choice. We have free choice. And this is where I always say we have to give that free choice back to Yahweh. Don't use free choice. Only follow Yahweh's choices. But here you do have a choice. You have the choice through free will to either forgive or hold grudges. It's one or the other. And if you hold the grudge, the root of bitterness will grow. That's the seed of the root of bitterness. And the longer it goes, the more it will affect your life until it totally takes away Yahweh's grace out of your life. The root of bitterness defiles us. We are forgiving them for ourselves as much as for them. So again, it does. Like I said, it doesn't matter whether they're asking for forgiveness, as we're going to see. It doesn't matter because even Yeshua said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. They didn't ask for forgiveness. They're spitting on him and mocking him. And he's still asking for forgiveness, so he doesn't have a root of bitterness in him. And he's the creator. Boy, he could have easily gotten bitter at what these people were doing. Nope, but he didn't want that. Because like I said, Proverbs 23:7, you don't have to go there, but as a man thinks, so he is. So whatever thoughts in your mind, and either it's love and all the fruits of the Spirit, or it's bitterness and hate and envy. Jacob 3 in verse 13. Jacob 3 in verse 13. Jacob 3 and verse 13 says, who is wise and knowing among you? Let him prove his works by his good behavior and meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth, right? So there's people that will hold this bitterness in their heart, right? And then they get together. And sometimes it's even with other brethren. It's like they'll put on this face and they'll act like, oh, hi, how you doing? And in their heart, they're bitter against that person. Sometimes it's because something perceived that the person did. Other times it's jealousy. They're jealous that that person has something they don't have. But Yahweh says here, do not boast and lie against the truth, because that's lying. This is not the wisdom coming down from above, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. It's the seed of Satan, right? When we look at the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, you also see Satan's fruits, and those fruits are not good. This is the fruit of Satan, the devil, because you can't get more selfish and self-centered than having this root of bitterness and jealousy and contention in your heart. For where jealousy and contention are, there is confusion in every foul deed. There's confusion in every foul deed. So what will it make you do? It'll make you just think you've been wronged and everyone's against you and everything, no, and everybody this and that. And your whole life becomes self-focused and self-centered. And now there's no truth anymore. And that's why it's devilish. And Satan just keeps giving you more. He keeps giving you more. He keeps giving you more. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And your mind is just totally centered around you. And now what have you become? You become a child of Satan. You're just like him. That's what it is. But the wisdom from above is firstly truly perfect and peaceable, gentle, obedient, full of mercy and good fruits, right? The real fruits of the Spirit. Not partial and without hypocrisy. So when we're looking at Yahweh's wisdom, when we're looking at Yahweh's fruits, they're not partial. Everybody goes by the same rules. So the same way Yeshua, and if there's, like I said, he's eternal. He's the creator. He never did anything wrong. And if there was anybody, can you imagine when he's saying, they're saying to him, if you're really the son of Elohim, come off that tree and show us right now. And man, he could have jumped down from that tree and he could have blown fire on all of them and killed them. And said, yeah, okay, now what do you say? And he would have got rid of evil people that are going to the lake of fire anyway, because he said it. He said, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom and you yourself being thrust out, so these people will be going to the lake of fire, but he didn't. He didn't. He set us an example of humility and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He left the judgment up to Yahweh. So he wasn't partial. And we have to realize that Yahweh's not going to be partial. As much as he loves us and he wants us in his kingdom, he can't be partial. And if we're having a root of bitterness and we're not forgiving other people, we're not going to be forgiven. That's what his word says. And without hypocrisy, because it's really hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy When each of us, I know myself, my sins are worse than anybody's sins, and my sins can bring me death, and Yahweh's going to forgive me of my sins, and then I'm going to go out and not forgive other people? It makes no sense. You know? It makes no sense whatsoever. So, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for the ones making peace. So it's really up to the person. Either you have a spirit of peace or you have a spirit of contention. So what is it? And the spirit of peace can only come through the gift of forgiveness. You will never have peace in your life if you don't accept that gift. And that's the gift from Yahweh. It's the gift from Yahweh is the gift of forgiveness. And once you do that, once you purify your heart and your soul through this gift, you know, I say there's cleanses that we take. We take the liver cleanse and we take the kidney cleanse. You know, take the heart cleanse, take the soul cleanse. And that's what it is. Forgiveness is that's what you take it for. That it's amazing how much, if you allow that forgiveness in your life, and like I said, to give over to others, how it frees you. You're the one that benefits more. Just like it says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Absolutely. And the more that you give forgiveness to others, the more it comes back to you in your life. So it helps you more than it helps the other people. Because if the other people aren't accepting it, as we're going to see, then it does nothing for their life anyway. So as a man thinks, so he is. We don't want to be defiled through somebody else's sin. That is why Yeshua said, offenses will come, but woe to them who bring them. Because they are sinning against an innocent party, and then it can cause the innocent party to harbor bitterness and lose his grace, right? So here it is. Maybe you're the innocent party. You did nothing wrong, right? And somebody really did hurt you. They really did sin against you. And now you grow a root of bitterness, and you're not forgiving them. So now that evil person who didn't repent, and he's not going to repent, but now you're also going to go to the lake of fire because you won't forgive that person. And that's why Yeshua said that. Woe to offenses. You know, offenses will come, but woe to him who brings them, because you're sinning against an innocent person. So this is here. It's not, this sermon isn't for the evil sinner who is not going to repent and doesn't care. He doesn't want the forgiveness, right? This is for the person who's been affected by this. But the key is, don't let it affect you. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants you to build a root of bitterness. Satan wants you to say how you've been wronged. None of us have been wronged. None of us have been wronged. If actually all of us got what we deserve, every one of us would get death. That's the only thing we deserve. Right? Like they say, the right to die. Yep. We all have the right to die. If we really want justice, if we really want what we deserve, then every one of us should get death. And this is what Passover is all about. Passover is about forgiveness. It's not about death. It's about forgiveness. Praise Yahweh for that. It is hypocrisy to ask Yahweh for forgiveness and not forgive others from our heart. It's that simple. Matthew 5 and verse 48. Matthew 5 and verse 48. It says, therefore you become perfect or complete even as your Father in heaven is complete. And it's not an easy thing. Believe me, I've done it in my life. When people hurt you purposely, and it's not an accident, and they are purposely trying to hurt you, they're lying about you. I've had people go on the internet, make videos that are completely lies about me, and put them on the video to thousands of people that don't even know me. But for me to get bitter and to keep a root of bitterness, I'm only hurting myself. So for the person or the people who do these kind of things purposely, it's not a mistake. They know what they're doing, you know, because even though they know it's not true, because, you know, there's been times where I sent to people, said, no, this is not true. I'll give you the proof. And then they throw the proof away. So that's for Yahweh to judge. Leave it up to Yahweh to judge. Because I actually pity those people. Because just like Yeshua said, they're going to go to the lake of fire. So I pity them. I know where my reward is. And I look forward to the kingdom of Yahweh every day. And if I'm wrong, I got to change and I got to repent. But people that are evil, trying to do evil things, well, you got to leave that to Yahweh. And he will. He will. He's not going to let that go, as we'll see later. But we can't let it affect our life. We can't let it affect our grace. We want to become like Yahweh. And when you forgive people who don't deserve forgiveness, that's what you're doing. You're giving grace. There's no greater gift that Yahweh can give us to give others than grace. So granted, right, he gives us the fruits of his spirit. Yahweh is love, joy, patience, peace. goodness, right? All these things. Faith, Yahweh is all these things. These are all character traits that Yahweh has. And he allows us to have these character traits in us. But there's no greater gift he can give us than to allow us to give grace to other people that he gives to us. And then we really understand it. So that's what we do when we're becoming like him. Hebrews 5, Hebrews the 5th chapter. For every high priest, being taken from men, is appointed on behalf of men in the things respecting Elohim, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And he can humble himself and have compassion on those who are ignorant and go astray, for he himself is also subject to weaknesses. And therefore he is obliged, just as he offers sacrifices for the people, so likewise he also presents an offering for himself for his own sins. And no one takes the honor to himself, but he being called by Elohim, even as Aaron was also. So the priest, right, when he's going and he's giving forgiveness for the people, first he has to give forgiveness for himself. So we all need forgiveness before we can forgive others. Everyone needs it. And then verse 5, so also the Messiah has not glorified himself to become a high priest, but he glorified the one who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. So drop down to verse 8, one more verse. And though he was a good son, because of the fear and suffering which he endured, he learned obedience. So even Yeshua, who was perfect, came in a human body for 32, 33 years to learn obedience through the things he suffered. So it's the same with us. So when we learn obedience through suffering, that's the way we're becoming like Yahweh and we're becoming like Yeshua. And face it, let's go to start going to 1 Peter 2. If you're doing that when you're wronged, what's the difference, right? So if you're doing something wrong, if you sin and you wind up, you know, if you go and rob a bank and then you wind up getting caught and go to prison, there's nothing you could say in prison how you're doing something good, because you're only getting what you deserved. You're reaping what you sowed. That is the wage for the sin you committed. But when you do nothing wrong, right, and you actually do something right, and now you're being accused, like Yeshua was, falsely, you know, by the scribes, by the Pharisees, that's where you become like Yahweh. Because now, that's where the character is growing. In 1 Peter 2, in verse 18, he says, the servants, be obedient to your masters in all fear, not only to those good and forbearing, but also to the perverse ones. For this is favor, this is grace before Elohim. If because of conscience, anyone bears grief, suffering unjustly. What does the conscience mean? It's the conscience toward Yahweh. Your human nature is telling you, fight back. Fight back. You know, get bitter. Don't let them do this. They're going to take advantage of you. That's your human nature. That's Satan. That's Satan trying to instill that. But the Spirit of Yahweh says, stand back and see the salvation of Yahweh. You know, you be still. You be still. So it's favor before Elohim if because of conscience anyone bears grief, suffering unjustly. So when you do this, when you suffer unjustly, when somebody purposely hurts you and says, I don't care, I lied and I'll lie again and I'm going to hurt you, and you say, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do, and you pray for them and you have pity on them because you know they're going to the lake of fire because they're not going to repent. You're doing it for conscience sake toward Yahweh, not toward the evil person. The evil person will get what he deserves, but you're doing it toward conscience, toward Yahweh. For what glory is it if you patiently endure suffering because of your sinning? But if you are suffering while doing good and patiently endure, then your glory is greater from Elohim, just like we just said. For you were called to this, for even Messiah suffered on our behalf, leaving behind an example for us, that you should follow in his footsteps, who did no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who having been reviled, he did not revile in return. Suffering he did not threaten, but he gave himself up to him who was judging righteously, who himself carried up in his body our sins on the tree, that dying to sin we might live to righteousness, of whom by his wounds you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now you turn back to the shepherd and guardian of your souls, right? And do you remember in Matthew 4, when Yeshua is being tempted by the enemy by the devil, and he says, look at all these kingdoms of the world. I'll give them all to you if you bow down and worship me, right? He's trying to tempt Yeshua the same way he tempts us. He tempts us with what? He tempts us with envy. He tempts us with jealousy. He tempts us with anger. These are his character traits. And like I said, he owns them. So if you have them in your life, he's coming for them, and there's nothing you can do because they belong to him. If you get rid of everything that belongs to Satan, he's got nothing on you. And that's the key. What did Yeshua say? You know, that you shall worship Yahweh in him alone. So if for conscience sake toward Yahweh, we forgive, even when forgiveness is not granted, right? They're not even asking for it, or it's not deserved. Then we're becoming like Yahweh because we're giving grace in our life. And it frees you. It frees you. Because Yahweh's not filled with bitterness. Yahweh's not filled with hatred. Yahweh's filled with love. And that's the way we are. Luke 23:34 says, and Yeshua said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And dividing his garments, they cast a lot. Right? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The wicked crowd did not ask for forgiveness. The Father forgave them, for they know not what. But Yeshua still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No one was asking for it. They were mocking him. They were laughing at him. You know? They were insulting him, spitting at him. Right? And this is still what he said. Because to keep his own self pure, that he is not going to sin in his mind, because that's where sin starts, by having bad thoughts toward these people. Romans 5:6-8. Romans 5:6-8, look what it says. It says, for we, yet being without strength, in due time Messiah died for unrighteous ones. For with difficulty one will die for a wicked one, and perhaps one even dares to die for the sake of a good one. But Yahweh commends his love for us, and that we being yet sinners, Messiah died for us. Wow. So think about that, right? That Yahweh loved us while we were sinners. We didn't repent first. We didn't repent and change and turn. And then Yahweh said, wow, you know what? This guy that was doing this evil stuff, he really changed his life. Now I'm gonna look toward him. No, Yahweh gave us a spirit of repentance while we were still evil. He loved us while we were evil. He knew us from the day we were born. So while we were in the world and we were doing all these evil things, he was still watching over us and loving us. Can you imagine how amazing that is? He loved us while we were yet sinners. We need to do the same. We don't deserve his forgiveness. It's that simple. You know, forgiveness is a gift from Yahweh. It's a gift from Yahweh. Repentance is a gift from Yahweh. So we didn't decide one day from the goodness of our heart that, oh, my way of life has really gone bad and wrong and I'm going to turn and I'm going to change. No, repentance is a gift from Yahweh. Yahweh sent his spirit to convict our mind and convict our hearts to change. And yet he loved us while we were in our evil state. So who are we to hold back forgiveness from other people? Romans 2:4 says, or do you abuse the riches of his kindness and forbearance, and the opportunity he has given you, not knowing that the kindness of Yahweh leads to repentance? The kindness of Yahweh leads to repentance. So, right? That's why it says, when somebody does evil, and you repay evil back, you think they're going to repent? And one of the greatest stories, true stories I could think about this, is with Sabina Wurmbrand, where she was in prison, right? She's in a prison, in like a concentration camp. And the guard there that she meets, this guard that's abusing her, beating her, she finds out was the same guard who killed her parents in the Holocaust. And she goes up to this man, not to spit in his face, not to tell him how evil she is. She goes up and tells him, I forgive you. I forgive you for killing my parents. And it touched that guard so much that he came to faith. You believe it? He actually turned to faith, because what human can do that? It's like I say, it's hard enough to love the ones who love you, but to love your enemies? It's unhuman. It's against our very nature. And yet, it can turn people. If you look at Acts 7:58, we see the same with Stephen, right? The awesome message that Stephen gave in Acts 7 when he's going through the history of Israel. You could just be lost in that whole chapter. And then he says, verse 58 of Acts 7, "And they seized him and took him outside of the city, and they were stoning him. And those who testified against him laid their garments at the feet of a certain young man who was Shaul." So Shaul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, he's over here agreeing this. He was the one that was having believers killed. He was fighting against them, and he consented with Stephen. "And they were stoning Stephen while he prayed. And he said, 'Our master Yeshua received my spirit.' And after he knelt down, he cried in a loud voice and said, 'Our master, do not cause this sin to stand against them.' And having said this, he fell asleep." He died. Wow. So, can you imagine, you know, these people are there, and he gives this amazing message, and the Apostle Paul is right there at his feet consenting to this, and then they stone him to death for it. And I wonder, could this have been the turning point in the Apostle Paul's life? You know, when you look, all these things we're reading are coming from Paul. You know, I know all the apostles understood grace, but none of them understood it like the Apostle Paul. There's no apostle that understood it like Paul. And how can that be? Because look what Paul went through. Paul literally was having believers killed, and yet at the same time, you know, he comes to faith, and now he's got to deal with that the rest of his life. That doesn't just go away. As he's going to preaching in places, you know, and maybe parents of somebody that he had their child killed comes up and says, "You hypocrite! You hypocrite! You had my child killed, and you're going to come talking about love and forgiveness?" And he had to go through that. He had to go through this, but that's why he understood Yahweh's forgiveness in a way that maybe others didn't. But was that kindness of Stephen maybe the turning point in the Apostle Paul's life? Who knows? But there's a good chance it was. Grace is unmerited pardon. When we forgive those who do evil to us and despitefully use us, then we are experiencing the greatest gift that Yahweh can give us in life. We are able to experience what it feels like to be Him, to give grace to others. We are in essence becoming like Yahweh and Yeshua. So how wonderful it is, right? Because when we go to Yahweh and we say, "Father, I can't believe it. I can't believe your mercy and your kindness. I can't believe that I did all these things that deserve death. And not only do you forgive them, but you make me a child of yours and you give me life. And I don't deserve it. You know, you gave me your grace." But now when we go to others and do the same thing, when we forgive others that aren't asking for forgiveness, when we forgive people that hurt us and aren't repenting, we're becoming more like Yahweh. Matthew 7, 1 and 2 says, "Do not condemn that you are not condemned. For with what condemnation you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you measure, it will be measured back to you." So this is another reason, right? Because if we don't forgive, and as we're judging other people, you know, we're going to be judged the same way. So, like I say, this is why Yeshua said about offenses. Because sometimes it could have been somebody who was a good believer, wasn't doing anything wrong, and just the fact that somebody did something to him and offended him. Sometimes it can be horrible. Maybe they even killed a family member. Who knows? But we can't allow anything to take away our grace. And the more we give it back, like Sabina Wernberg, what an awesome story, you know. The more we give it, the more that it comes back. And that's the way it is. That's Yahweh's economy, right? You can't outgive Yahweh. You can't outgive Yahweh. I remember one time when I was still working in America and making money, and I was thinking to myself, I don't want money. Money, you know, money is the root of all evil. Money is bad. And as I was making more money, I kept trying to give more money away. You know, and I would give it away and give it away, and it kept coming back. I kept making more. And the more I would give, the more that it would come back. You know, and it's like you can't outgive Yahweh. You can't outgive Yahweh. That happened one time when we were near parking the car, and I put the money in the car to park the car. And what happened was I put in the money, you know, and it showed whatever it was, an hour, and the money came back. And I thought, oh, wow, well, you know, I need to put this back in. So I put the money back in, and then it came back double. And then I put it again, it came back four times. And the more I kept putting the money in, the more it kept coming back. And then finally, you just have to say to yourself, thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh. You know, I'm not trying to do something wrong, but that's what happens sometimes. Sometimes Yahweh will just keep blessing you, and it's not money that's wrong, it's the love of money. The love of money is a root of all evil. Money can solve a lot of problems. So, but this is the same way. The more with forgiveness is the same way. You know, that the more you forgive, the more forgiveness you're going to get in your life. We are to judge the sin, the action, not the sinner. When we don't forgive another unconditionally, we are becoming the judge and the jury, and we're judging the heart and the motive of the offender when we don't know why in many cases. Sometimes you're being offended and you don't even have the story straight. Sometimes the person really didn't even do it, right? And that happens. In many cases, our perception of the situation could have been wrong, and maybe the person actually did not even sin. By unconditionally forgiving the offending party, we protect ourselves from wrongly judging. Also, in some cases, we may never see the person again, and if we don't forgive, we could be harboring bitterness for years when maybe the person repented long ago and we never knew it. I've had that happen to me at times. Someone came up to me years and years and years later and said, I just want to tell you, ask for your forgiveness. And I didn't even know the person did anything. I felt this way, or I had a bad thought, or I thought that. And you don't even know. And that's why you're holding the root of bitterness. You have no idea if that person repented. You have no idea sometimes. You know, sometimes it's even with parents and children. You know, and maybe that other person that you're bitter against is living in sorrow because they don't know how to say I'm sorry. And they're living in sorrow all that time because they know everything they did. They destroyed their family. You know, they destroyed their life. And you're holding bitterness against somebody who asked for forgiveness a long time ago. You just don't know it. Because sometimes pride stops people to coming to you for forgiveness, but maybe they asked Yahweh for forgiveness for what they did. So we want to make sure we're not keeping that root of bitterness. 1 Corinthians 4:5. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, then do not judge anything before the time until the Master comes, who will both shed light on the hidden things of darkness and will reveal the counsels of the heart, and then praise will be to each one from Yahweh. So don't judge anything before the time, right? We're not to judge anything before the time, because there is a judgment day. And in that judgment day, that's when people who haven't repented of their sins are going to get, you know, they're going to get the judgment. They're going to get the wages for what they did. The wages of sin to death, or the wages of righteousness to eternal life. So that day's coming. And that's why Yahweh can have so much patience with us, because he's got nothing to lose. Time is on his side, right? So if he judges us immediately when we sin, then that's it. Then we never have the chance. But if he gives us time and time and time to repent, then who knows? Some will and some won't, but some can change. Let's go to Jacob 4. Jacob, the 4th chapter. Jacob 4. And starting in verse 1. From where come conflicts and fightings from among you? Is it not from your lusts warring in your members? You covet and yet you do not have. You murder and are jealous and are not able to possess. You fight and you strive and you have nothing because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you do not ask sincerely. You ask in order that you may satisfy your lusts. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship of the world is hatred, enmity with Elohim? Whatever then purposes to be a friend of the world is an enemy to Elohim. Or do you not think vainly, the scripture says, the pride dwelling in us lusts to envy. And here comes the problem. This is where the problem is. It's the pride. And if you are too worldly, right, then wow, and Laodicean spirit, that pride is going to get you. And sometimes, even when you know you're wrong, you just won't do it. Your pride will stop you from saying, I'm sorry. Your pride will stop you from forgiving the other person who says I'm sorry and forgiving them. It's the pride that will stop you. The pride dwelling in us lusts with envy. But he, Yahweh, gives greater grace. Because of it, he says, Yahweh sets himself against proud ones, but gives grace to humble ones. So that's the point. You're holding back your own grace if your pride is stopping you from forgiving somebody, you know, or accepting Yahweh's forgiveness in that sense. Then submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And like I said, we read the scripture before, it's worldly, it's devilish to hold back this fruit of bitterness, to hold resentment against somebody else, to not accept forgiveness. Because you're holding the forgiveness back in your own life more than the other person. Because you want to know something? If somebody hurts you, and they don't ask for forgiveness, and you don't forgive them, and you're holding this bitterness in your heart, but then later they go and ask Yahweh for forgiveness, because who do we sin against? Do we sin against man, or do we sin against Yahweh? Psalm 51, against you and you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight. So when that person goes and asks Yahweh for forgiveness later, Yahweh forgives them. But where are you? You're still holding the root of bitterness. So now you're holding up your own forgiveness, and that person's being forgiven because he actually humbled himself and asked for forgiveness. And that's why we have to submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Don't let the devil put these evil things and deal with your pride and your self-righteousness. Draw near to Elohim, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded ones. Be distressed and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy into shame. Be humbled before Yahweh, and he will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brothers. He who speaks against a brother and is judging a brother, he speaks against the Torah and judges the Torah. But if you judge the Torah, you're not a doer of the Torah, but a judge. There is one lawgiver. There is one able to save and to destroy. Who are you who judges your neighbor, right? There's one. There's one lawgiver. It's Yahweh. It's not you. And don't worry. That person who is evil, that person who did these evil things against you, they will get theirs on Judgment Day. Another great example is with the Amish. The Amish are the kindest, nicest people in the world. And several years back, probably many of you heard this story, there was a man who went into one of the Amish schools and killed a bunch of the children. Horrible situation there. And the Amish actually, they went to the wife of the man who did this, and they actually even helped her. They went to the funeral, they helped the wife because the wife had nothing to do with it. But they told the wife that they forgave the man who did this. And I forget if it was a news reporter or somebody else, they came and said, this man killed your children. How could you forgive him and let him off the hook? And they said, we didn't let him off the hook. We believe in the judgment he's going to be resurrected and go to the lake of fire because that's the wages of what he did. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. And he killed these innocent people. But we're forgiving him because that's what we're commanded to do. Because we don't want to lose our own forgiveness. And what a great example, you know, that they set, that they show that. It's not that the person is getting off the hook. If that person doesn't repent, then that person on Judgment Day will be judged, but he's not being judged by you. He's being judged by Yahweh. And that's all it is. When you forgive, you're simply giving the judgment over to Yahweh. If we go to Numbers 14, 18, Numbers chapter 14 and verse 18, look what it says. Numbers 14, 18, important scripture. Yahweh is slow to anger and of great mercy, bearing away iniquity and transgression. And by no means will he clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the sons and on the third and on the fourth generation. So, he's visiting the iniquity of the fathers, right? And he will in no way will he clear the guilty. So if someone doesn't repent, and somebody is evil, somebody like Hitler, you know, that person who never repented and did evil, he will get his wages. But it'll come from Yahweh, who is the lawgiver. It comes from him. He is the judge of everything, you know, Yahweh and Yeshua. And we're not. We're not. So it's simply, it's a matter of faith to believe that Yahweh will give the proper judgment. But when you take it in your own hands, and no way, you're going to take it upon yourself, and you're going to go out, and you're going to get your own retribution, and you're going to hold this root of bitterness. You know what you're doing? You're showing a lack of faith in Yahweh, that you're not believing that Yahweh will give proper justice. That's what you're doing. So, it's really a lack of faith, right? Acts 2:38, what does it talk about? When Peter says, repent and believe, right? Repent and believe. and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Yeshua Yahweh, for the forgiveness of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. One must repent and believe to receive Yahweh's grace and forgiveness. Whenever there is an offense, there is always two parties and two steps to reconciliation, right? The first step is that we must unconditionally forgive the other party who has offended us. Just like Yeshua did, just like Stephen did. So we have to unconditionally forgive, which means all we're doing is we're giving judgment over to Yahweh. We're not letting the person off the hook for what he did if he didn't repent. We're simply giving judgment to Yahweh. Because the second step is the sinning party must repent of his sin in order to receive the repentance and forgiveness. So if you're giving forgiveness to somebody, but he's not repenting, then he doesn't receive that forgiveness. Step one is that we must unconditionally forgive the other party who has offended us. Step two is the sinning party must repent of his sin in order to receive the repentance and forgiveness of Yahweh. Because like we said in Psalm 51, against you and you only have I sinned. Every sin is not against man, it's against Yahweh. So when we unconditionally forgive, in essence, we are simply leaving all judgment to Yahweh where it is meant to. Matthew 10 and verse 12. Matthew 10 and verse 12. Says, but entering into the house, greet it, right? And if the house truly is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor will hear your words, having gone out to that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Truly I say to you, it would be more tranquil for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in judgment day for that city. So it's the same thing here. People said, well, if you go out to a city and you enter the house and you give your peace to it, what if there's a devil, a worshiper in the house? Don't worry. If you give your peace and they're not worthy of that peace, the peace will come back to you. It's the same with forgiveness. If you give your forgiveness and the person is not repenting or changing, then the forgiveness is coming back to you. It's that simple. So don't worry. That's where faith in Yahweh comes. All we are to do is we are to do it because it frees us. It frees us and we leave all judgment to Yahweh. So it's just like they say, you know, love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Well, why would you? You're not praying for them to continue in their evil. You're praying for them to see their evil and to change. That's what you're praying for. And your prayer is helping you not to get a root of bitterness. But by no way do we ever pray for evil. We never pray that the evil continues or that we're praying for the evil. So if no repentance, the forgiveness would come back to you until repentance is made. 2 Thessalonians 3:14 and 15. Maybe we understand this scripture a little bit better now where it says, but if anyone does not obey our word through this epistle, mark that one and do not associate with him that he be shamed. But do not count him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. So whether it's somebody bringing false doctrine or it's somebody living in a sin, when somebody is doing something that literally can take away their eternal life, then what happens at that point? Out of love. Just like the Amish, you know, very loving people, but they practice shunning. Out of love, you have to shun that person. But you're not doing it in an evil way. You're not hating the person, like it says. You're admonishing them as a brother. You're shunning them because you have to show them that what they're doing is not acceptable to Yahweh. And hopefully, by quarantining them, by setting them apart from the body, that person is going to say, I don't like this. This is bad. I don't want to be away from Yahweh's body. And then they'll repent, and then they come back. And when they come back, you forget it as if it never happened, and you just move on. But putting the person out of the congregation is an act of love to draw him to repentance so that he won't die. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, because at the end of the day, that's all Yahweh wants. Yahweh doesn't want judgment on anybody. He wants everyone to repent, but we do have free will. And because of our free will, we have to make that choice. And there are times where Yahweh gives through his Spirit the gift of repentance, but the person still doesn't repent. So you have to accept that gift or else. But Yahweh wants everybody to get it. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20 says, the soul that sins, it shall die. A son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, and a father shall not bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But the wicked, if he will turn from all his sins which he has done, and keep all the statutes and do justice and righteousness, living he shall live. He shall not die. And all transgressions that he has done, they shall not be mentioned to him in his righteousness which he has done. He shall live. Do I take pleasure and delight in the death of the wicked, declares Adonai Yahweh? Is it not that he should turn from his ways and live? Right? So Yahweh doesn't take pleasure in a sinner dying. No, that's all he wants, and that's all we should want. We shouldn't want revenge. We shouldn't want jealousy and revenge and bitterness. No, we should only want that person to change. Drop down to verse 30. I will judge you each man by his ways, O house of Israel, declares Adonai Yahweh. Turn and be made to turn in all your transgressions, and iniquity shall not be a stumbling block to you. Cast away all your transgressions from you, from which you have transgressed in them, and make for yourself a new heart and a new spirit, right? The new covenant. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I do not have delight in the death of him who dies, declares Adonai Yahweh. So turn and live. So turn and live. Yahweh's will is for all to come to repentance, but we have free will, and we must freely choose to repent and accept his forgiveness. The guilty will not go unpunished, but we want to make sure that somebody else's sin is not causing us to lose our grace. We want to experience grace to others that Yahweh bestowed upon. We want to experience grace to others that Yahweh has bestowed upon us and follow in the footsteps of Yeshua and unconditionally forgiving. Because remember, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. And that's what happens. When you get this root of bitterness and you're thinking, you know, that you've been wronged and people have done this, you lose sight of reality. And not only do you get a root of bitterness, you don't repent anymore. You stop praying, you stop repenting because you're just seeing what everybody else did. It will destroy your spiritual life, and it's right where Satan wants you. That's exactly where he wants you. You become self-righteous, you start seeing everything else that everyone's doing wrong, and you stop looking in your own heart. Because if you honestly saw yourself for what you are, and you saw your need for forgiveness of Yahweh every day, you would never be like that. You would never be judging other people. You would never be thinking how wrong you've been done. Because you realize whatever anyone did to you, you did 10 times, 1,000 times work to Yahweh and Yeshua. Because they did nothing to you. They did absolutely nothing to you except give you forgiveness, right? So to turn your way on these other people, you're doing exactly like the scripture we read in the beginning. You know, you've been forgiven $1 million and you're holding against somebody that owes you $10. You're doing the same sin, and it's self-righteousness. It's self. So all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. Psalm 103 and verse 8. Psalm 103 and verse 8. Because like we said, you have to forgive for your heart. It's not only a matter of forgiving, it's a matter of forgetting. Psalm 103 and verse 8 says, Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and of abundant mercy. Abundant grace. Praise Yahweh. He will not always strive, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not done to us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are above the earth, so is his mercy mighty over those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Verse 13, as the pity of a father over his sons, so Yahweh pities those who fear him. Yahweh pities. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. It's everything, right? And that's why to the person who may have done the original sin, if he doesn't have the fear of Yahweh, he's not going to repent. But now, like I said, now the person who's been the offense against, they're also holding this root of bitterness, and they're not showing the fear of Yahweh. But as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions, and Yahweh pities as a father pities his children, right? And those who fear him. So Yahweh not only forgives, but forgets. And it's the same with us. You can't hold it back. There's times this will happen. You know, you have an argument with somebody or a problem, and it's over for years. And then it could be 8 years later, something comes up, and they say, well, remember when you did this? And it's like, what are you talking about? That was 8 years ago. That has nothing to do with this. So we have to be like Yahweh. You can't be holding grudges. Because Yahweh has given us his greatest gift is the forgiveness through his Son. John 3:16. For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone believing in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. That's Yahweh's great gift to us, that no matter what you did, that our souls can be cleansed through the blood of Yeshua. We all have been wronged by somebody. The Apostle Paul, like I said, he had to meet with families of people he consented to the death of their friends or relatives. King David in the kingdom is going to meet Uriah, right? Uriah the Hittite, who was faithful and loyal to him. And what did he do? Behind his back, he had him killed and then took his wife, right? He's going to have to deal with him in the kingdom. We need to become like Yahweh. We need to let pride die, and we need to forgive and leave all judgment to him. Forgiveness is a powerful tool. There's no more powerful tool in our life, because forgiveness and grace go hand in hand. And Yahweh's grace and Yahweh's forgiveness is the thing that will free you. And unfortunately, some people are being held by the clap of Satan, you know, that they're not allowing this. Forgiveness is a powerful tool to grow in the spirit of Yahweh and become like him. Forgiveness cleanses our soul. Forgiveness literally cleanses our soul. So I pray that during these days of unleavened bread, I think this is really a message that is important at any time, but I really pray at this time, as we're looking in our hearts and we're looking to take the leaven, hopefully we've already de-leavened our homes, but we're looking to de-leaven our hearts, that we could look in and see, do I have anything against anybody else? Am I holding any bitterness? Am I holding any grudges? Because this is the time that Yahweh can free you from that. And allow the fruits of the Spirit, allow his love and his joy and his peace and his patience, allow those things to grow in your heavenly vase. Don't allow the root of bitterness that will break it all apart. So, Hatzameach, until tomorrow, we will be back for my favorite day of the year, our greatest hope, you know, the Feast of First Fruit, Resurrection Day. So until tomorrow, we pray you're having a blessed feast. Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.